Let us join our hearts together. Heavenly Father, lay us aside. Lay us aside from the troubles that have assailed us as we came through the door of your house. Let our prayers be heard. Let our hearts be lifted. For we know in all things, you control, you live, you breathe. Forgive us of our sins, Father, because we have definitely sinned. And strengthen us as we come forward to you. And thankful we are for that forgiveness from sin. Thank you, Father, for the blessings that you have given us, where you have seen fit to bring new life into the world, or where you have seen fit to remind us of the day you created a being. A birthday is not just another day, it's a celebration of the wonder of your hands. Father, we pray for little Hannah and Marcy, and for Mita. How thankful we are. Thank you for the blessings shared with us by Sister Pat. And remember to lift up Anna and Anna Lee. And so many people are fighting with this flu, Father. So many people are not feeling well. Jackie is under the weather. We want to keep that lifted up, Father. And remember Suzanne as she continues to go through her treatments. Though she be not here with us, she is here with us in spirit. And we lift up those not with us today, Margaret and Tilly and Cheryl. How thankful we need to be, Father. And how thankful we are for the rich blessings that we so abundantly receive. We pray for this country. Its moral compass is off. We pray that the leaders in all facets of those who are in leadership, from a county commissioner all the way up, need remember that this country, one nation under God, founded upon the principles of Christ Jesus. For those who serve us, Father, we should never forget that, be it the waiter or waitress in a restaurant, somebody in the hospital, the nursing home, the police, the fire, even the members of our military, Father, who are struggling to keep us free, to give us the ability to walk openly into this building, Father. We pray for their safety and for their return. Father, for that unspoken prayer, be it written down and put in our prayer box, or that simple hand up and down. And for our brother Dwayne, who struggles so greatly at the moment, heal him, Father. As we sit here this morning, as we prepare this morning, let that prayer be constant on our heart, that thy will be done. And let us pray the way Jesus Christ taught us to pray. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Acts chapter 12. Open your Bibles up to Acts chapter 12. Our scripture lesson today will come from that. Peter's miraculous escape from prison. First 17 verses. I love to identify with Peter over and over and over again. Often people wonder if I should identify with Paul because my name is Paul. No, I love Peter because he's a big mouth, always getting in trouble, a whole lot like me. And he learns and he grows. And so we find Peter in prison. And we see what happens when prayer is let loose. Acts chapter 12, verse 1. And it was about this time, that King Herod arrested some who belonged to the church, intending to persecute them. He had James, the brother of John, put to death with the sword. And when he saw that this pleased the Jews, he proceeded to seize Peter also. This happened during the feast of unleavened bread. After arresting him, he put him in prison, handing him over to be guarded by four squads of soldiers each. Herod intended to bring him out for public trial after the Passover. So Peter was kept in prison, but the church was earnestly praying for him. That night, before Herod was to bring him to trial, Peter was sleeping between two soldiers, bound with two chains, and sentries stood guard at the entrance. Suddenly an angel of the Lord appeared, and light shone in the cell. He struck Peter on the side and woke him up. "Get up quick," he said, and the chains fell off Peter's wrists. Then the angel said to him, "Put on your clothes and sandals," and Peter did so. "Wrap your cloak around you and follow me," the angel told him. Peter followed him out of the prison, but he had no idea what the angel was doing was really happening. He thought he was seeing a vision. They passed the first and second guards and came to the iron gate leading to the city. It opened for them by itself, and they went through it. And when they had walked the length of one street, suddenly the angel left him. Then Peter came to himself and said, "Now I know without a doubt that the Lord sent his angel and rescued me from Herod's clutches and from everything the Jewish people were anticipating." When this had dawned on him, he went to the house of Mary, the mother of John, also called Mark, where many people had gathered and were praying. Peter knocked at the outer entrance, and a servant girl named Rhoda came to answer the door. When she recognized Peter's voice, she was so overjoyed she ran back without opening it and exclaimed, "Peter is at the door." "You're out of your mind," they told her. When she kept insisting that it was so, they said it must be his angel. But Peter kept on knocking. And when they opened the door and saw him, they were astonished. Peter motioned with his hand for them to be quiet and described how the Lord brought him out of prison. "Tell James and the brothers about this," he said, and then he left for another place. May God bless this passage to our heart. May it fill us as we prepare for morning message. Would you join with me, please, in prayer? Heavenly Father, at this time we ask that we just simply lay aside our labors that are yet to come when we leave here and dwell with you. That the Holy Spirit be within here, Father. That the words that will be spoken today are not mine, they are yours. And they will strengthen us and lead us through as such. Lift us up, Father, in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. I ask God for strength that I might achieve. I was made weak that I would learn to humbly obey. I ask God for health that I might do greater things. I was given infirmity that I might do better things. I asked for riches that I might be happy. I was given poverty that I might be wise. I asked for the power that I might have the praise of men. I was given weakness so that I might feel the need of God. I asked for all things that I might enjoy life. I was given life that I might enjoy all things. I got nothing that I asked for, but everything I hoped for. Almost despite myself, my unspoken prayers were answered. I am among all men most richly blessed. Those simple words were found on a Confederate soldier when he was ushered into a prison. His name lost to history, just simply an unknown Confederate soldier. They don't know if he wrote them or where they came from, and yet it points out to us the need for prayer and accepting the answer. That's the tough one, isn't it? I received yet again this week an answer to a prayer that I've been praying and that I know my brothers and sisters have prayed. And it was so strong of an answer that it actually has just dwelt with me all week. It was such a powerful answer because it was not what I wanted. I thought it was time for us to turn yet again to remember prayer. To remember what prayer is and what it is all about. And to understand that when God answers it, He answers it His way. But that we need to keep praying. It is to remember that although we don't get what we want, we have to keep going. As you know, I've been hoping for a change in a job. As I have worked for a power company, and you know the power company had a position that may or may not have come open, and this job was going to be a vast improvement for me and my family. I'm thankful to have a very good job, and that's well and wonderful, but this job had more benefits, more pay, more everything that I wanted. And I got told again this week, no. And not just no, but no for the foreseeable future. The company has decided not to hire from outside, but to work from within. Even though I have everything in place, I have the certifications, I have the qualifications, I'm able to do the job without much training, and the people that run the program recognize that, the people that own the company said, no, we're not going outside the company, and it hurt. It made me mad. It put me in a foul mood this week. He said, no. All the things that I was hoping for that would go with such a prestigious job, nope. Not allowed. I don't know if that means no for good, but I know that it means no right now. And it hurt me. And it made me mad. Because I cannot understand why somebody else can have that and not me. I'm the guy. I'm the man. I have all the stuff on the ball. And after I shot my big mouth off with all them statements, I got why I got my answer to prayer. It ain't my time, and regardless of everything, it ain't to be. It's to keep me humble. It's to keep me close to Him. It's to keep me in prayer. It's to keep me constantly asking. Regardless of how good I thought I would have been at it, God said no. God said no. Bill Hybels, in his book, Too Busy Not to Pray, says these words, if the request is wrong, God says no. If the timing is wrong, God says no. If you are wrong, God says grow. I thought I had done all the growing up I needed to do. I got bad news for you. I still got a long ways to go. But if the request is right, the timing is right, and you are right, God says, go. But don't forget your email. I had a little fun with that. I saw a bumper sticker of all things this week. God really does respond to email. And if you have a computer, you know that the synonym email stands for electronic mail. But God's more in favor of email. Get on the knees and burn them out. Pray it. And don't be getting all wound up if He says no. Well, I did. I spent a lot of time thinking about it. And I spent a lot of time wondering why in the world He would say no. Why are you doing this to me? Because I work in an area that I struggle so much. And then Peter in prison came forward. Oh, it's a beautiful story. I liked reading it because I saw a lot of smiles around here. We often forget old Peter in prison. We remember who? Paul and Silas, the old good old gospel hymn song. We remember them being in prison, but we forget that Peter was in prison first. Now let's identify with that for a minute. As I've often said, I like to identify with Peter because he had a big mouth. He had a hot head. He was all full of temper. He couldn't behave himself quite often. And every time he shot his big mouth off, God taught him a lesson. He grew, and he became the rock. And so we find him in prison. Now, I don't know how many of you can read between the lines in the Bible. I like to try to. I am sure that while Peter was out doing what he was doing and they came and shackled him, he was not happy about it. And I'm sure he began to question God. And I'm sure he began to fault God. And I'm sure he began to say, yeah, I know you said I'd suffer, but I thought you meant I wouldn't have any money and I'd spend all the rest of my life walking around. I can see him right now being put in prison. And just how powerful was Peter? Go back to the scripture. What did Herod do? After arresting him, verse 4, he put him in prison. But he didn't just put him in prison. He had him guarded by four squads of soldiers, four soldiers each. That's serious business. I have gotten in trouble once or twice in my life. I know you find that hard to believe, but bear with me. When I went to high school, I couldn't get suspended. I always wanted to because I always thought how fun that would be to have a day off from school, right? Going to get myself in trouble, get throwed off. What were they going to do with me? I was going to get to stay at home and work at the farm all day. Well, that was a winner for me. No. When I went into high school, they came up with this new torture punishment. They called it in-school suspension. So you would get suspended, and you would still go to school that day. And they would take you off to this little windowless room, and they would sit you at a desk that had a wall on each side, and you would stare ahead at that wall, and two teachers came and sat with you every period and brought you homework. Oh boy! Peter had a multitude of guards around him because he was that thought of. He had that much passion. He had that much desire of Holy Spirit. But Herod was scared to death of him. I'm sure Peter was mad. I'm sure he was questioning it. I'm sure that he was very upset with the situation. So Peter was kept in prison, but the church was earnestly praying to God for him. Earnestly. Knee-mail. On their knees. Praying. Hammering along. That something would happen. If you read on into the verse a little further, you see that after the angel showed up, the angel told him what? Put your sandals and your clothes on. Kept naked. After probably being beaten and chained to two guards so that the slightest movement would awaken them and they'd beat him some more. I'm sure he was praying, God, get me out of this, but it wasn't him. It was to teach him. He got up and he left. I'm sure he was sick. I'm sure he was scared. I would have been. I'm sure he was in great pain. And that it is tough to think about prayer at that moment, but that is the exact moment when we need to pray most, isn't it? It seems like in those vital moments sometimes, at the exact moment that you need to pray the hardest, you sometimes lose a little focus on that. Brothers and sisters, that was me this week. And that's where I need to bring you back around. That in those moments, in that crucial moment, it is not about woe is me. It is about, whoa, God, please, tell me what to do next. Don't lose sight of prayer. Don't lose sight of prayer. Prayer is something we need everything, every day, every moment. I think about the talk and the prayer that we have answered. I sent that picture of Hannah around. Look at that answered prayer. I remember when we first started looking at her. She was in a hospital in Pittsburgh and miserable. And although things aren't great, they are a far sight better than they ever have been for her. Amen.
Amen. And hallelujah.
And we have so many new friends here. We have friends that are coming and staying. We have an organist. We have prayers being answered. Because it's in His will, His time. Chuck Swindoll, of all things, when I was listening to him one morning this week, talked about answered prayer and told a story. He said in his church, he has a friend that came around who's a missionary. And he was driving all over the United States, generating work and generating influence, generating prayer and, I guess, fundraising for the mission work that he was doing. And he had to be in a particular place at a particular time. And he didn't have the luxury of being able to get a hotel room. So he was just going to drive the 11 hours straight on through to where he needed to go. And it was a bad night. It had been raining in the afternoon. And he knew he was going to have to drive through the night. And so what did he do? He said, God, can you send somebody to keep me awake? Can you do something here? Can you help me out? So the first hour passed, and he didn't have any answers. He found himself being a little bit more drowsy, and he said, God, can you just keep me awake then? And a little bit further on, he prayed again. He said, just keep me awake. And about that time, his lights fell over a man hitchhiking in the rain, and on a coat and an umbrella. And he stopped and he picked him up. The guy got in the car and he was pretty wide awake. And they began to talk. And he come to find out that this man was a believer too. And they shared and they talked of the Bible. And the hours flew by. And as he neared close to the end of his journey, it was getting on towards morning. So he invited this gentleman that he'd been riding with all these hours and sharing the gospel and talking. He said, hey, here's this little roadside diner. I'm going to stop in and get a cup of coffee before I journey on. Care to join me? Yes, I do. And so when they got in, the stranger informed him, I'll share a cup of coffee with you, but this is as far as we go. And so they entered the diner, not a lot of people there, two cups of coffee, and they sat and talked. And this missionary went back out and got in his car. And he was just about to leave, and he said, you know, I forgot to ask his name. I need to keep in touch with him. And so he went back in. The stranger was gone. And he looked around outside and didn't see him. So he asked the waitress who had been there working. He said, hey, what happened to that fellow I came in with? The waitress said, what fellow? She said, you came in and ordered two cups of coffee. We thought you were just trying to stay awake. Or maybe you were a little bit crazy as you sat there talking to yourself. And then it hit him. God had answered. I don't usually tell stories like that, but when it comes from Chuck Swindoll, I figure that's a pretty good one. Answered prayer. That is where it comes from. And we don't even know when it's going to be answered, or how it's going to be answered, or why it's going to be answered. C.S. Lewis said these words, the moment you wake up each morning, all your wishes and hopes for the day rush at you like wild animals. And the first job each morning consists of shoving it all back and listening to that other voice, taking that other point of view, letting the other, larger, stronger, quieter life come flowing in. In other words, at that moment when you first wake up, it is time for prayer before the world gets a hold of you. Nehemiah, the power of prayer. We look again at Peter as he is in jail. He didn't believe what was happening. Tom Watson says, the angel fetched Peter out of prison, but that it was prayer that fetched the angel. I like that. It was prayer that fetched Peter, an angel that fetched Peter out of prison, but prayer that fetched the angel. Boy, that's a tongue twister, ain't it? I'll have to work on that one. Let me hear you say that one five times fast. If you flip over to John 17, you talk about prayer and how earnest it can be, and you look in the 20th verse. I can only imagine. And I can only wait until the day when I am face to face with my Savior that I will look upon His face and think about these words, this scripture, and wonder what it must have been like. John chapter 17, verse 20. In the garden, Jesus praying, prays for the future believers. My prayer is not for them alone. He's talking about the disciples. I also pray for those who will believe in me through their message, through what the disciples will teach. That all of them may be one, Father, just as you are in me and I am in you. May they also be in us so that the world may believe that you have sent me. I have given them the glory that you gave me, that they may be as one as we are one. I in them and you in me. May they be brought to complete unity to let the world know that you sent me and have loved them even as you have loved me. Father, I want those you have given me to be with me where I am and to see my glory, the glory you have given me because you have loved me before the creation of the world. Very important verse there. Righteous Father, though the world does not know you, I know you, and they know that you have sent me. I have made you known to them and will continue to make you known in order that the love you have for me may be in them and that I myself may be in them. That is a powerful prayer. Set forth to teach us the power of prayer. Jesus Christ, as he faces his death, he knows in just a few short hours, it's over. And yet he falls forward because that power, that overreaching desire, that place of safety is prayer. Sir George Adam Smith tells how his guide and him were climbing the Weisshorn in the Swiss Alps. It was stormy and they were making their climb, but they were on the sheltered side of the peak. The storm was blowing over them. And when they had reached the summit, they were filled with exhilaration. And Sir George forgot about the fierce winds, leapt up and was nearly blown off the side of the mountain into a glacier below. But the guide grabbed a hold of him and exclaimed, "On your knees, sir, you are safe here, only on your knees. Brothers and sisters, in prayer, you are safe only on your knees. You are safe in prayer always, regardless of the answer." What God taught to me this week? I'm to pray for strength, for faith, that I am where God has planted me, not where I want to be. Oh, if I had my choice of where I wanted to be, I'd have a big barn in the backyard full of tractors, and I'd be restoring tractors for a living, and y'all would have to come to my house on Sunday for service. You know that ain't happening. I may not like it or understand it. You may not like it or understand it why your prayer ain't answered right away. But it is His will, His decision, His moment for you. He will take you where you need to be, and you will be where He wants you, regardless of what you want. I have learned a lesson there. It teaches me one thing. It teaches me to keep on praying. It teaches me that the heat and fervor from praying never stops. I want to read you just this little one here. When they talk about praying, don't worry about it. You don't have to use a lot of words. God knows He can make sense out of the most confused prayer. You don't have to use so many words to impress God because He created the words anyway. There's no special way to do it. I'm talking about knees, but in a poem, someone has vividly expressed this humorous little poem that reads as follows about prayer. "The proper way for a man to pray," said Deacon Lemuel Keyes, "the only proper attitude is down upon his knees." "Nay, I say the way you should pray," said Reverend Dr. Wise, "is standing straight with outstretched arms, with rapt and upturned eyes." "Oh, no, no, no," said Elder Snow. "Such posture is too proud. A man should pray with his eyes fast closed and his head contritely bowed. It seems to me his hands should be austerely clasped in front, with both thumbs pointing to the ground," said Reverend Dr. Blunt. "Last year, I fell in Hodgkin's Well head first," said Cyril Brown, "with both heels a-sticking up and my head a-pointing down. And I done prayed right there and then, best prayer I ever said, the prayingest prayer I ever prayed a-standing on my head." Just pray. Just pray. Make sure you don't have to worry about it. You just say what's in your heart. You just remember that God answers an email. You just remember that you need to lean down. You just remember these simple words. I ask God for strength that I might achieve. I was made weak that I might humbly learn to obey. I ask God for health that I might do greater things. I was given infirmity that I would do better things. I asked for riches that I might be happy. I was given poverty that I might be wise. I asked for power that I might have the praise of men. I was given weakness that I might feel the need for God. I asked for all things that I might enjoy life. I was given life that I might enjoy all things. I got nothing that I asked for, but everything that I hoped for. Almost despite myself, my unspoken prayers were answered. I am among all men most richly blessed. Amen. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, on our knees, hands up, arms outstretched, thumbs at the ground, twirling around, it don't matter, as long as we pray and we just simply put it to you. That while you are not going to answer the way we want, every single time, you will answer. If it is the wrong prayer, it's no. If it is the wrong timing, it's grow. If it is the wrong me prayer, the answer is no. But when I am right, when the timing is right, and when it is your will, the answer is go. Gracious Father, let us not forget that we need to communicate with you every moment of every day, locked in prayer. Strengthen us, Father. Remind us that within that safe confine, you cover us. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' name, amen. As we prepare to sing this last hymn, of course, I'm asking if you have a particular need for prayer. We have the whole front open. If you need me to pray with me, you just give me a hand signal or a wink or a nod, and I'll come down and pray with you. But you don't need me if you just want to come up here and pray. And if you need strengthening for your walk with God, I stand waiting. Now I give this to you in Jesus' precious name.
Please stand and turn to page
591. Me.
Hold me and change.
Now may the grace of our Father, the blood of Jesus Christ, and the Spirit that dwells within us, the Holy Spirit, rest and abide with us now and forevermore as we go to walk from here. May we remind ourselves to pray. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' name, amen.